We're back in the room. Welcome to part two of the Type 1 Radio Lounge on the 12th of November 2016. Are we all back?
Yep.
Yep. Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed.
For any unfamiliar with one of the interesting events of election night, Canada's immigration website crashed due to extreme use by the left-leaning folk who saw what was coming and decided they better boogie off to Canada. But they literally, they crashed the immigration website for Canada. Got a list here of individuals, celebrities, mm-hmm. who had vowed, if Trump wins, I'm leaving America. Just give you a bit of a flavor of this. Bryan Cranston said he hopes he doesn't pack his bags, but would, quote, definitely move if Trump won. Quote, absolutely, I would definitely move, the Breaking Bad star said on the Best Seller Experiment podcast. It's not real to me that could happen. I hope to God it doesn't. Samuel L. Jackson slammed Trump for running a hate-filled campaign and said he'd move to South Africa if Trump wins. Quote, if that mother effer becomes president, I'm moving my black ass to South Africa, end quote. The star said that to Jimmy Kimmel.
Samuel Jackson lives more over here, though, doesn't he? He lives in London most of the time.
Anyway. Not for sure. Nev Campbell.
If you look at his...
Okay. Nev Campbell, an actress on the political drama House of Cards, vowed to move back home to Canada, while Orange is the New Black actress Natasha Lyonne said she would hightail it to a mental hospital.
And how ironic is that? Because one thing that Trump has done, he's made a black family homeless. Orange is the new black in the White House.
Well, yeah, when you come to skin color, I suppose. Singers. Cher had tweeted this past summer that if Trump gets elected, quote, I'm moving to Jupiter. Well, luck with that. Miley Cyrus wrote in an emotional Instagram post in March that tears were running down her cheek and she was unbelievably scared and sad. Quote, I am moving if he is president. I don't say things I don't mean. So perhaps there will be another empty house. Barbara Streisand, a vocal...
Which altar of Miley Cyrus was that speaking right there?
Right. Barbara Streisand, a vocal Clinton supporter, told 60 Minutes, quote, I'm either coming to your country if you'll let me in, or Canada. The rapper Ne-Yo told TMZ last month he'd move to Canada and be neighbors with fellow R&B singer Drake if the country elected Trump. Median
this is all on
category. What?
This is all under the assumption that Canada will actually have all these people, because they do have
yes.
their own immigration laws.
Yeah. Comedian Amy Schumer said in September that Spain would be her destination of choice. Chelsea Handler said she already made contingency plans months ago. Quote, I did buy a house in another country just in case. So all these people that threaten to leave the country and then don't, I will actually leave the country. Former Daily Show host Jon Stewart said he would consider, quote, getting in a rocket and going to another planet because clearly this planet's gone bonkers, end quote. Whoopi Goldberg, co-host of The View, said on an episode of the talk show earlier this year that if the country elects, quote, Trump, quote, maybe it's time for me to move. You know, I can afford to go. Keegan-Michael Key said he would flee north to Canada. Quote, it's like 10 minutes from Detroit, the comedian told TMZ in January. That's where I'm from. My mom lives there. I'd make her happy too. Hispanic comedian George Lopez said Trump, quote, won't have to worry about immigration, end quote, if he takes the White House because, quote, we'll all go back, end quote. Even Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg joked in an interview with the New York Times in July that it'd be time to move to New Zealand if Trump were to win. So we shall see if any of these people actually leave. And, you know, there's also, we might just see the undocumented ones from south of the border headed north.
Who was the one that was going to go to New Zealand?
Stuck into one country, they can sneak into another.
Who was the one that was going to go to New Zealand?
Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg.
The first thing she's going to see when she drives into Auckland Airport and drives out of Auckland Airport is one of Donald Trump's towers that's perched on like a fucking volcanic rock. And you can't miss it. It's the only thing you see for miles when you're driving from the airport. It's hilarious.
Yep.
So, yeah, good luck with that. But didn't Bruce Springsteen, like, he was a avid Hillary supporter, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he did an appearance for.
In fact, the only
for the Democrat,
the only quote unquote celebrity I've seen saying anything about Trump was Clint Eastwood, and he just started saying, well, "It's about time America stopped being a bunch of pussies."
Yeah. Pretty amazing that university students.
Here's a bit of a dark thing as well. Is it Monsieur Rajesh? Monisha Rajesh, who's a journalist. Have you seen her tweet? She says it's about time for a presidential assassination. So she's advocating violence. Yeah.
And that Twitter page went down, didn't it? After that, Yeah. They were talking about that on the UK column yesterday, and they actually was watching Have I Got News For You today, and they sort of mention that tweet and they get a big laugh, and then they sort of say, well, you do realise that you just advocated murder there by laughing. The fact that they've they're highlighting the tweet in a possibility way rather than in that good old BBC rhetoric.
Yeah, Fajcik brought to the attention a couple of weeks ago, but people sort of just saying, well, can't we just kill them all, when they were talking about Trump and sort of wanting and you know, in a comedy show. Waiting to yeah, they were just talking. They were talking about Trump voters and our good old UK comedians. Just jokingly said it'd be good to kill them, or why don't they just kill themselves? Yeah, yeah, lovely. Fucking Scottish list. Anywho, so
do you think that Obama had to eat some humble pie when old Donny goes to visit him at the White House the other day after Obama's comments about him never being president?
Probably they both had to step back a little bit from, you know, some of the... I mean, otherwise, they'd have whipped out knives and started fighting.
Absolutely. I mean, after the vote, the game changes, doesn't it? And Trump has to be careful what he says. You know, he has to sort of, like he's saying, he's not going to take down Obamacare. Right? He probably is at some stage, isn't he? But he's also...
Well, you know, it would make sense if there are useful, functional, proper aspects within it. Okay, we can utilize that. But the way it's going now is a majority of people who have had to get involved in this Affordable Care Act. That's the actual title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some people's monthly premiums are more than doubling. And they've got such an enormous, I mean, $5,000 or more deductible that you have to pay first before the health care insurance pays anything. So it most certainly is not an Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. Just a little aside to that, on this side of the pond, this week it's been announced that Virgin Care has just been granted permission to run 200 or something departments in the NHS. So, you know...
Is this like Branson's?
Yeah, mother? Richard Branson, the very same motherfucker. So soon we're not going to have...
They already are doing some...
I know they're already...
Already, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I know, but it's been significantly increased this week, hasn't it? We just want to get a load more contracts. But don't worry, we're not privatising the National Health.
No. And just let's hope that Trump doesn't rename Obamacare to Trump.
Well, I don't know if you guys recall, but back when Bill Clinton was in office, there was a brief flirt with something that was at that time referred to as Hillary Care, which just didn't work and didn't go anywhere. But then, you know, years later, Obamacare popped up. So, I mean, there was a beginning for that back then.
And also, that's quite interesting in the fact that Hillary was... that was supposed to be Hillary's time then, wasn't it? And it was just the...
Well, even then, so many of us were just going... What's the first lady got to do with healthcare? What?
Yeah, but if the plan was to bring it in at the time when Obama brought it in, which would seem that was the you know, the agenda there to bring this in, just happened to be called Hillary Care in the... in the 90s, when it was panned around, and then Hillary was supposed to be president when Obama got in, but Obama beat her to the to get on the ticket, and then it was renamed Obamacare. So yeah, that is very, very telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's they even tell you about that in the Michael Moore documentary called Sickle, And it even fucking tells you in there that that's what's going to happen. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. It is years since I've seen that.
The guy actually refers to it and says, yeah, I've been warned about you, the former Miss Roden. It's pretty fucking spooky, man, eh?
Well, we can hope and pray that the Clintons both get their health care needs met while in the federal prison systems that they're assigned to.
Well, they probably get better care than the people outside of prison. If Guantanamo Bay's anything to go by, they've. That's another thing that was in Sicko, the fact that they have the best medical attention, dental care, anywhere
That woman got a whole bag of respirators, didn't she? The woman who was at 9/11, she got a whole bag for like 99 cents, and that back home it cost like $48 for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, but we just pulled up that Virgin wins a £700 million contract to provide NHS care services. Old Ricky Branson's rubbing his hands together. So no doubt he'll give them a tenner to fucking run it, because he's notoriously tight with his money. Fucker. Yeah.
Has he got it all on his island?
Yeah. Did you see that as well on the UK column, that Virgin Trains have doubled the amount of ex-convicts working for them on the trains? And Common Purpose. Yeah, and Common Purpose have been running training days in prisons. You know, I don't know if it's a sort of rehab fucking program or something that they're involved with. But, So they're choosing the right people to be operating our trains. Isn't that good?
Well, if we actually end up getting, as Trump had promised, efforts to rebuild the infrastructure of this country, roads, bridges, libraries, hospitals, all of that, well, then there's going to be job opportunities. There's going to be income. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these things are crumbling. They've served well, but a lot of our infrastructure is crumbling.
Yeah. No, I've seen Detroit. It's dreadful. Yeah.
But how's he going to pay for that if he's going to take down taxes?
Well, it would require tightening up the budgetary expenses that are not necessary.
Stop spending so much on fucking bombing other countries.
There you go.
Yeah.
Spend on
get out of the regime change business altogether.
Yeah.
And cut off that expenditure, and you've got tons of money to work.
Jay, is that not likely to happen, Jay?
Pardon?
Is that likely to happen, that he's going to, the U.S. involvement in the war business is going to sort of end with Trump, do you think? Or at least scale back?
My hope is, since 2004, the NSA, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and all the alphabet soup businesses have collected all the phone calls, all the emails, all the data from every American that's out there. And the thing is, you could look at it that the pedophile rings and other things that the Illuminati have are now exposed. Okay? So the real hope is that, according to Pechanic that these guys who are in the alphabet soup agencies and have all this information are now going after the criminals. I mean, that's the big hope, that if there is a revolution, it'll be done that way.
But the question was, well, do you see any sort of hope for, like, the regime change policy of the, you know, U.S. foreign policy?
Oh, absolutely. Trump has already stated that he wants to work with Putin.
Mm.
I mean,
and Assad, yeah.
He's not into nation building at all, at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so I suppose if he's, wants to put America back on its feet again, sort of thing, he's not going to worry about what goes on in Africa or the Far East or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, cool. It's an interesting time we're headed for, that's for sure.
Mm. I mean, the opportunity to have a world we are happy to hand off to our children and our grandchildren, well, we're getting a peek at the opportunity to do something like this. That's really all it is at today, but at least that glimmer of hope is there. You know, if you set about to drain a swamp, I don't know how many of you have actually seen a swamp. That's a big job. Ain't nothing little and quick about that. All kinds of complications and problems and, you know? So, I mean, we most certainly are not in any sort of a utopian situation, not likely to be within our natural lifetimes. But maybe if people in the positions to have influence in a large way do the correct things, it can get much better.
It couldn't get fucking worse, could it?
Well, yeah, it actually could do that too if we start lobbing nukes at each other.
Yeah.
Who cares about got a big kick out of Thomas's video on YouTube about, you know, the SJWs right now who, you know, for some reason, they seem to be very happy with the idea there'll be a transsexual bathroom in this post-nuclear wasteland.
And do you think it's quite telling that throughout the latter end of the race there, Clinton was denouncing Trump's, saying that if he lost, he wouldn't concede, and there'd potentially be riots from Trump supporters.
And yeah.
We haven't heard anything from Hillary to condone the violence, which is being done in her name, even though it's being branded as anti-Trump. It is pro-Clinton supporters that are, but the way the media are spinning it, I think it's very telling that she has just shut the fuck up. She's done, really. She's done. That's her.
Walked away. Yeah. What was interesting on election night was that, they had set up at the Javits Center in New York City, the Hillary is where all the Hillary folk were gathered for the winning the election celebration. And they had just, expensive staging and effects, and they were going to do fireworks and there was a glass ceiling that was supposed to get broken, to represent a woman going through the glass ceiling up into the...
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening was these poor folks in that Javits Center just sitting there holding one another and crying, watching the results come in. And then John Podesta, the campaign chairman, took the stage, said, everybody go home. So she didn't even appear, not even via Skype or anything. Nothing. Yeah. She cares nothing about any of those people. They're a means to an end, and that's it. And they didn't, it didn't happen, and she couldn't be bothered to even have her face shown at that time. John Podesta had to walk out and tell everybody go home. Of course he did it in a cheery manner, but...
And that's almost like, going to a Madonna concert and waiting for 5 hours to be told, oh, she's not coming on. Fuck off.
Right. Yep. I mean, this was like around about 3 a.m. New York time when that took place.
Yeah. I was getting up for work.
We saw it.
And saw it live. and then it was on the way on the drive to work that he announced Trump's win, and surprisingly.
Now they did announce that Hillary, they did announce that Hillary had made the phone call, the concession phone call to Trump, and he had been waiting to go out on stage until, you know, certain things were locked up, like the electoral score. And then Hillary made the, you know, the congratulations phone call, but she didn't even address her people. You know, and that was like, wow.
That sucks ass, doesn't it? That just shows you
what that's your sociopath for you.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. It was quite amusing over here. The BBC wouldn't concede that she lost, because they were running with CNN, I think. Or was it CNN, Nick?
Well,
were like, we think, but ITV, the other channel, had announced it like ages before they did. So it was quite amusing. And they hung on till the bare end.
And the BBC also took quite a time to update after he had won, update his the votes.
The numbers.
I think even like later on that day, after I got home from work, they still hadn't. And whereas the official,
it was about 2:40, wasn't
ones,
it?
I think they'd got to like 260 something, and the other channels and online were saying that it was like 279. But even up until yesterday, like the one that Google put up, and you'd go to the official US election website or Politico or something like that, and even Google was behind the times, as it were.
The Electoral College vote remains to be seen. That's the real determiner, you know, and that hasn't happened yet. That when that comes down, we'll see what that triggers. You know, there'll be civil uprising no matter what. That's unavoidable. We're too deeply divided at this point. You know, and
that was
so
always,
many
that was always on the
so
cards,
deeply
interested.
That means we've got Obama forever.
If they play the martial law card, yes. Well, not forever, but, you know, yeah, for as long as he wishes to be there.
How's Obama being viewed at the minute? Was it purely the hatred for Hillary that made her lose? Or is the sort of Democrats being a bit shit? The States.
No, they've lost about 10 million.
Well, I mean, everything. Is that Obama's fault?
Well, there aren't a lot of examples of either party maintaining three 4-year periods in a row of the same party.
No, sure.
You know? So, in and of itself, regardless who's in it, is a difficult thing to do.
And
they didn't manage to do that.
Well, I did read somewhere that if Obama had stood against Trump, he would have won. Did you see that little article? You know, if it was Obama running against Trump at the moment. As in the same as Bernie Sanders would have won.
Well, good work to Julian Assange, who made the WikiLeaks stuff available, or at least a portion of it, so that, you know, we who are curious could actually see what these people are saying back and forth to each other.
When it came out that
Bernie Sanders was screwed from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he was screwed, and he knew he had to kiss her ring at that convention. But those of us who were watching and paying particular attention to Senator Sanders saw he was ready to throw up. This is not something he wanted to do, you know, and it left a whole lot of people who were supporting him, it left them without anything, you know, legit in their opinion to support. So, I mean, it was just a bad situation all the way around for a great number of people.
You know, yeah, I know. Who would have thought a pedophile would have thought
that? Did you watch the John Pilger, Julian Assange interview?
No,
I thought we ran the audio from.
Say again?
I thought we ran the audio from that last week.
Yeah, but that was like a small little clip. It's actually about a 25 minute interview. And the whole very explosive And yeah, they weren't doing that in any support of Trump. They were just, I think that is probably why Hillary has lost. It's not like a vote for Trump. It's a massive vote against
Hillary.
Yeah, this crazy person who is completely mentally unstable. Not to say that Trump is at all.
Right. Yeah. See, that's the thing, you know, it's like, oh my God, which, you know, there's a lot of people like that, you know, but it would seem that the results, well, you know, okay. In the popular vote, it would seem Hillary won. It was the projection for the electoral votes that became the determining factor saying Trump won. So,
but actually, Swami,
yeah,
in contest where, let's say Trump is ahead by 4 or 5 percentage points,
mm-hmm,
in a state. Or if Hillary is ahead 4 or 5 percentage points in a state and there's like 95-98% counted, they'll count all the votes. There'll be 4 or 5 percentage points ahead, right? Let's say, you know. And then the piles and piles of absentee votes,
right.
Both Democrats and Republicans have sent in, will not be counted.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not enough absentee votes to change the outcome, because the person with 100% of the machine votes counted is 4 points ahead, and you've only got 2 percentage points of votes in the absentee ballots.
Right.
And so they don't even count them.
Right.
So the thing is, Republicans are 67% of the absentee ballots that came in this election, and the Democrats were, you know, 28%, 20 something like that. And Republicans were 67, and Democrats were, I don't know, 33. But so, in actuality, if you count all the absentee ballots, there's a good chance that Trump actually won the majority, even though there was computer hanky-panky in California, Oregon, and Washington.
Right.
But they haven't counted a lot.
Well, we were hearing a lot about there in your town, Jay, in Philly, that people were trying to vote a straight Republican ticket, and it just kept flipping over and wouldn't give them anything but
Clinton. Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. A
lot of dead people voted here.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the Chicago way. You know, Mayor Daley said, vote early and vote often.
Yeah, it's 85% of the people in Philadelphia voted for Hillary.
Really?
I'm just looking at a known count.
Which?
Yeah, the general count for Democrats is down. So
yeah, I'm just looking at the it couldn't county be that, by county. Of,
and it, well, the thing is, a lot is, over the past. Oh, I'm sorry.
The state map of looks better than the actual county map. I mean, there's only pockets of Hillary and a sort of band down the, well, sort of the slim part of, you know, the sort of coastal part of California, not even the whole thing. Whereas in the state maps, the whole thing's blue. So it gives a different perspective of, but, you know, if you're looking at this county by county, the whole fucking thing is for Trump, really. That shows a landslide, doesn't it? Where it was projected to be a landslide for Hillary, and it is
for Hillary. Yeah, but you have to sort of. Have you seen the map as well, or have you seen the graph that sort of shows that over the last sort of three elections, the Republican vote's been pretty much stable, the way you know, pretty much the same. And in the last two elections, when you've had Obama, you've had a huge like gap of turnout in Republican and Democratic voting, i.e. all the black people voting for Obama. Sort of like in the first one, it's up at, you know, 700 fucking million or whatever, or 1,000 rather.
70 million.
And then it's sort of down to sort of 65 after that. And then in this election, it's been... it's down below like 60, and the Republican votes remained the same all the way through, with a slight spike last election. So it's it definitely was Hillary's fault. That so many, you know, people just didn't want to know her, basically, did they?
No, and that's because they do know her.
Yeah.
They.
Well,
a meme, and basically, it's like people voted in 2008 for Obama because, not because he was a black man, but because he wasn't Hillary.
And he wasn't Bush. Or Bush's successor, whoever it was. Who did he run against? Kerry, was it?
John McCain in 2000, and then John Kerry in 12.
Kerry was 04, and McCain was 08.
Oh, okay.
Who was 012 then?
In 12, it was Mitt Romney.
Yep. My mistake.
Yeah. How do you think, because there seems to be a bit of a tittle-tattle talk about Chelsea Clinton being groomed to be the next...
good luck with that!
Yeah, I know. How well do you think she's going to do? After a little lame-ass fuck. The only thing I ever heard the same is, oh, Pat's bad for you, and it doesn't cure cancer, and it doesn't, like, it's really, it turns you into a psychotic. Fuck off, you little bitch.
Well, I suppose...
It's rather unlikely once her parents either flee the country to avoid prosecution and incarceration or become incarcerated, that's going to hurt the Clinton name.
The Clinton brand. What do you think of this? Has anybody seen the story that the White House is going to pardon the Clintons so that Donald can't prosecute them?
Is anyone that's a big story too.
Have you seen? Well, I mean, well, don't you have to be guilty of something before you're pardoned?
Exactly. Yeah.
So is that not a fucking big old fat admission that they are guilty?
See, there's still so many parts of this that are in flux and are not nailed down yet that, you know, we really actually have to just keep looking step by step by step. And even once it's done, all right, regardless which way they end up, the electoral voters, regardless what they decide, we still got to keep a close eye on what's happening. We are responsible for that.
Yeah.
You know, things that we get, if we get distracted, well, then all kind of stuff's going to go on that we would not wish to have happen. We are responsible in this structure of a democratic republic. And if you're not in it, you really can't complain too much, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think you're probably on mute, Jay.
Oh, no, I'm not. No.
Oh, you're not? Sorry.
No, I'm just sitting here doing text messages. No, I figure we can settle down. Don't worry about anything and just wait to see who he picks for his government. And just, you know, chill out and work on other issues. Because this bad boy's put to bed, really. It's out of our hands now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really campaigning hard on social media for the orange toad. Because I just, Hillary, I know, is Illuminati and... a pedophile, and I just was like, anything but her. I mean, Trump could be a Freemasonic warlock, but I just haven't seen anything on it yet. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, his mother's family were custodians of some very sacred ancient Scottish stones or something like that, weren't they?
Yep.
On the Isle of Lewis, where she's from. So, you know,
Druids? Do you understand Druids? That's Druids, baby.
Yes, yes. That's his bloodline.
Ah. Yeah, Eddie Lynn, you know, on the kitchen sink has been putting a little post about... Trump being sort of like Conor McLeod, there can be only one. Highlander.
The Highlander.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because in the history of when they wiped out the Druids, the last Druids that were in the islands way up in the Hebrides or something
Hebrides,
like that.
Yeah, Hebrides.
They got hunted down by the Illuminati. And when they got killed, the last Druid high priest, they put a curse on the Illuminati and said, wait, someday we're going to get you back for this.
Yay.
And here it is.
Donald. Yay. Wicked. I can't wait.
I'm more interested in, you know, things that are real now. I mean, it's been a great run for people discussing different issues in the world and the excitement of the election leaks and stuff. But the most important thing that we have to do now is, now that people have seen some of the WikiLeaks, we need to actually dig deeper into them and really start to find out what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen some things from them that I mean to take some time out and take a look at some of this stuff. Because
yeah. David Cole,
thousands of pieces of information. And has it really been put together and gone over to where you really see the picture accurately?
Well, towards that end, this Swami put up on the Type 1 group a thing with the top 100 WikiLeaks exposures of what's happening and how it works. And all that, so people can, because I mean, you know, otherwise it's just such an enormous load of things to go through, you know.
I'm hoping in the next year or two some really good books come out about it.
Yeah,
you know, with detailed analysis and you know, bringing things together in a coherent way. I mean, I'd buy that book, just saying.
It's been quite the ride, and it's not quite come to a full stop yet, but...
Yeah. Well, if Trump is real, I'm pretty sure they're going to kill him, Swami.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Let me ask for you, everyone here, what sort of vibe do y'all get from his Vice President Mike Pence? Do you see any possibility of him being like an LBJ?
Freaking hope he doesn't seem
scary.
To have that much charisma. Yeah.
He's quite scary.
There was a joke that went around here. There was a joke going around here, which unfortunately only Nick will get. But how much does a vice president cost? Mike Pence.
One pence.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
he's a creationist.
Yeah, he doesn't seem. I know. Isn't that weird? Isn't he going to? Did I hear he was going to sort of appoint a climate change skeptic as well as his environment secretary?
Well, I don't think he believes in climate change, which is
no,
potentially
and,
quite good.
What about his wife being an anti-vaccine campaigner?
She is.
That's
well,
a plus.
That's good news. You know.
Well, they have this. One of the reasons I voted Trump. They have a vaccine. Damaged child.
Do they? Right. Yep. Okay.
And Pence in the state, you know, he had been in Congress. Then he went back to Indiana and he became governor. And he turned around the finances of the state of Indiana and brought them into a surplus, budgetary.
Okay.
So, I mean, we've got people who can get things done, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's a strict neocon.
That's an unfortunate part. Yeah.
So do you think he's there to bring the other neocons on board?
No, he might actually have been a patriot, but you know, ambition made him toe the party line for Dick Cheney. You know.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
But he comes from an area of Indiana that's heavy Illuminati.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jay, you can't really get to that sort of position in Washington without having connections.
Well, you know, it helps to have a good, you know, working rapport with Satan.
Yeah. Sorry I'm laughing, but...
Fortunately, Satan didn't get in.
Yeah, yeah. Satan's little bitch never made it. But, yeah. Remains to be seen what Donald's going to turn out to be. And all we can do sit back and...
Did you see that he's only going to take a nominal fee of
$1? Yeah. Well, when you're a billionaire, I think, that's a PR stunt for sure, because he's not going to fucking refuse Air Force One and all that, is he? He's not going to go without.
He's got Trump one.
You know? Yeah, but he's lawfully bound to use Air Force One. And all the perks that go with it. So he can't not follow protocol.
It's quite a step down for him moving from Trump Tower into the White House. But,
Now that's the sort of, you know, one of his genius things he's done is sort of like he has to do the official thing, but he doesn't have to take the salary. I mean, not taking the salary is fucking, it's just about a vote winner every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, our politicians are just about to get a fucking 40% pay rise. Have you seen this?
Yeah,
our politicians are going to get a 40% fucking pay rise. And the Queenie's going to get another 25 million a year, is it?
What?
Yeah, it's like, fucking hell. It's like, you are kidding us. What do you want that for?
I was just going to ask what was going on that side of the pond with, you know, details.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the things I saw the other day there was that some fucker in the military has said, now is the time to really push forward the European army because of Trump getting in. You know, we need a European army and, like, you know, giving rhetoric to the sort of the special relationship thing. You know about that, don't you? Britain views our relationship with the United States as the special relationship. Yeah. You know, goes, you know, obviously way back to fucking Bush and
Virginia Company.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Well, yeah, well beyond.
But this guy's now pushing because that, you know, in the sort of face of Brexit, which we had, like leaving the EU, the one thing that we did sort of do before that was fucking really, really weaken our defences over here, really, like, sold off all the, you know, the military spending and sort of, well, sort of going all in with an EU army sort of thing. But since Brexit, you would think that that would end, but they're actually ramping it up and sort of going more full ahead with a European army, but with us being in Brexit sort of thing. And this guy was using Trump. Go on, Nick.
Yeah, We just use proxy armies by funding so-called humanitarian organisations that are fronts for terrorists. That's what we do.
Yeah. We call them the moderate rebels.
Yeah. There's a good piece. I think it must have been before the election of Trump talking about Syria. And ISIS, and saying that it's great that Putin's bombing ISIS. I think we should do the same. We should stop funding these people. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really encouraged the way he's talking about Assad and Putin sort of thing. I think, you know, fuck me, if that's true, it's magnificent. You know, it's like I was going to chat to Swami about this sort of fighting going on at the top sort of thing, and how the people who are obviously into wars have actually lost the sort of little battle at the top for now. And they're going to sort of just have to sit back and, you know, suffer the peace for a while.
Yeah, that's the hope.
That's the hope.
You know, things can still move in ways we can't even account for yet. You know,
it's all Jesus. Jesus did it.
I heard another beauty as well, that Trump wants to move the capital of Israel back to Jerusalem and away from Tel Aviv. Did you even see that?
Oh, yeah, that'll start a nice war.
Yeah, why don't you fucking leave Israel alone and fucking stop? He's going to ask for the money back, apparently, as well, that they've just been granted. Was it sort of...
the 38 billion?
Yeah, some mad billion figure, wasn't it? Yeah.
38 billion.
Yeah, he's going to ask for it back. Good luck with that one. Done.
I saw Benny's message to Dom. Saying, you know, sort of buttering up, saying, we can be good friends. You can be a good friend of Israel. Don't cut off our supply of money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, that would be a true power. Yeah, you know, if he did. Curtail the aid going to Israel, or actually speak up against the atrocities happening to the Palestinians. Because I'm sure at some point he's going to have some sort of meeting between the Palestinians and the Israelis at Camp David. You know, they always do. Each president does. You know, that is going to be one hell of a conversation.
Oh, yeah. He's got that difficult bridge to fucking cross, hasn't he?
Well, for any who take numerology seriously, the Swami's not, you know, like, highly skilled at numerology, but found it interesting that on Inauguration Day, Donald Trump will be 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old.
Wow. Yes. And he's going to be the oldest president.
The oldest human ever elected. Yep.
Yeah. So, and if he does the full eight years, he will be 78 by the time he's finished.
Yep.
Which is, but you know, to say that, you know, I'm sure these older senators, so you know, perhaps they don't have the same pressure as someone in charge to that degree.
No. Yeah, they've got their fiefdoms, but they're not running the whole show. Well, and you know, we have to honestly say, in all reality, neither is the president. But we'll see what he can do with it. And if he decides to live up to the package that was sold, we'll see. We have to just keep our eye on what's going on and help one another as best we can at every opportunity.
Well, Swami, no? I saw a guy on Facebook going through some preacher going through Revelation and doing some number stuff. And so much of what he talked about was the numbers in the Bible and the way he was interpreting it. 2016-2017, a lot of stuff is supposed to happen, and it already has. But 17 is off the hook.
Yeah.
And that's what David Icke says. He says 16, 17, and 18 are going to be the crucial years, whether the human race decides to remain in slavery or go free. And supposedly we have a window of high energy until 2025.
And on that note, we...